Welcome to the Anarchy Gumbo Podcast. Michael W. Dean of the Freedom Fiends cooks up a very special blend of liberty, guns, sex, rock and roll, drugs, and thriving in spite of the state in an increasingly worrying world. All with a rotating cast of nifty guests who are also up in the middle of the night.
Anarchy Gumbo is proudly syndicated by Alterati.com, the Liberty Radio Network, and No Agenda Global Radio.
Give me a big ugly G, boys! Yeah, rednecks were in caves, banging sticks together. They was drinking homemade wine made out of elephant testicles and shit. There was the original redneck back in the caveman Cro-Magnon big dick days. The day that everybody had a big dick. All women had motors in their pussies. Nobody had a job. It was a glorious time on the planet Earth. Are you ready to hear my sideways super psycho girth? I am ready to shout Bama Lama down in Alabama. Are you ready, boys?
Yeah!
Oh! Yeah!
Well, Bubba the Leather lusted at the Skinner when the moonshine still exploded. Thought it fired the guns and it started to run and everybody reloaded.
Then I got in the truck to go get drunk. Jingles with cans of hot beer.
When out of nowhere there stood a bear.
I'm sorry, could you repeat that, please? I wasn't recording. I mean, I didn't hear it.
I said it's sad you're watching 30 Rock.
Yeah, I'm like an old man with too many cats.
The old man with too many cats in in Wyoming.
I know. So, Mr. Mojo Nixon, how'd you get that name? The Nixon family saw you and you came out and they said the mojo is strong in this one?
Well, no, actually, when Richard Nixon was running for vice president with Dwight Eisenhower down in Louisiana in 1956, he ran into Miss Rudolph, the voodoo lady in the Richard Pryor Mudbone skits. And they had a baby, and that baby was me. I was born in Pigfoot, Louisiana.
That's interesting because Wikipedia is never wrong, and Wikipedia says you were born in Danville, Virginia in 1958.
Yeah, actually, I was born in Chapel Hill, North Carolina. I'm a Tar Heel born, Tar Heel bred. Grew up in Danville, Virginia. You know, look, there's mojo facts and there's mojo myth. And I'm not really interested in the facts. I like the myth of mojo. Well, I will tell you this. When I tried to first get a job in radio, the myth of mojo was so strong, nobody would hire me. People thought I lived in a burned-out 57 Chevy, you know, down by the river in some van, and I lived on Mad Dog 2020 and crack, you know, which is only half true.
Yeah, that sells. Good backstory always helps. Hey, do you know Tom Howard from Danville, Virginia?
I do know Tom Howard. Me and Tom Howard were friends in high school. This was back in 19 blah, 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 boom.
I was roommates with Tom Howard in Charlottesville, Virginia.
You know, he's a weird motherfucker.
Yeah, he's a electronic genius. Yep. I played in a band with him for a short period of time. Never went anywhere with it, but it was fun. I liked that guy.
Yeah, no. I knew all the weirdos in Danville. There weren't that many of them.
All six of them?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, man. I don't even know where to start. There's so much here. You know, people my age are like, I said I was interviewing you, and people my age were like, man, that's cool. And people like, you know, half my age were like, who? And I'm like, dude, you will know. You will know the magic of mojo after this interview.
Well, you know, I had a good run there in the, in the early 80s, mid 80s. College radio was strong. MTV was just starting. You know, so I was on 120 minutes a lot of, you know, college radio and alternative radio stations were playing Debbie Gibson and Elvis is Everywhere. And we toured a lot, me and Skid. And, I had a good time. Causing trouble, raising hell, you know, speaking the truth to the lying motherfuckers out there. And, now I've been working at Sirius Satellite Radio for the last, I don't know, 8 years or so. At some point, I decided rock and roll was going to kill me. Because, I only know one way to do it, and that's the bad way. Drunk, high, completely. No one would come to see a sober, nice mojo. People came to the show for the chaos, for the anarchy, for the, you know, they came to see the monkey dance, you know, and being a cult artist, I would make the cult happy by making the monkey dance.
Yep. Well, you know, we both killed ourselves on stage figuratively and slowly, literally for decades, and then retired to the slightly saner, but still radio world. And, I'm sitting here in Casper, Wyoming, safe from the maniac who's running around with a bow and arrow. Did you see that?
No, somebody's trying to kill you?
No, there was a school. I mean, I'm not happy anyone got killed. This is horrible. But there was a shooting at the college today. Three people are dead. No guns.
Well, look, it's okay to be happy if assholes get killed.
No guns were involved.
This is one thing wrong with our country. When assholes die, people act like they're sad.
Well,
fuck them.
The weird thing is there were no guns involved. It was a bow and arrow death. That's very, only in Wyoming, man.
It's only in Wyoming, yeah.
Yeah. So,
I don't know. Let me ask you, why does Wyoming get two senators? I mean, don't y'all just need one? Isn't one enough?
I don't know, man. I'm a libertarian like you. You're a libertarian, right? But I'm an anarcho-capitalist, which is basically a libertarian who doesn't vote. Do you vote?
I have voted, you know. I voted because I hated George Bush. I hated the fact that George Bush lied us in. I didn't vote for 30 years, but I hated the fact that George Bush lied us in to Iraq. I thought,
Yeah, me too.
I sang a song 6 months before the invasion of Iraq called Show Me the Fucking Weapons at the San Diego Music Awards. And guess what? I was fucking right. You know, Iraq had nothing to do with 9/11.
Who'd you vote for?
Look, it absolutely, positively, it's as if we invaded Ecuador because we were mad at Chile. You know, it's in the vicinity. They speak the same language. Go get them.
Who'd you vote for?
I voted for Obama.
Ugh.
And, I voted for Obama because he said his favorite character on The Wire was Omar. And Omar's my favorite character, too.
How do you feel about that now?
I mean, mainstream politicians, Democrats and Republicans, are lying cocksuckers bought and paid for before they get there. But one of the problems is one of the reasons we don't have a big Libertarian Party in this country is because of the Electoral College. The Electoral College means it's winner take all in the presidential election. The president is really the head of the party, and you can't. The only way you can win a state is by getting at least 35% in a three-way race. You know, so nobody starts out a new party at 35%. That's why. You know, in the recent election, only 2% of the people didn't vote for the two main parties. I'm for getting rid of the Electoral College tomorrow. Get rid of the Electoral College. I would also put term limits on them motherfuckers. Nobody needs to be in the Senate for 70 years.
Why do you think that anybody needs a ruler at all, even if you streamline the process and make it more democratic?
Oh, I don't.
I mean, didn't you write a song called I Love Marijuana or something like that?
Oh, yeah, no, I did. I don't believe anybody needs a ruler. We might need somebody to manage our affairs. You know, we might need somebody to make sure the roads are paved and the army's ready to go.
Roads. That's what people always say when they're battling for roads. It's like zombies. Roads.
Well, schools too. You know.
No, man, you can learn all that on the internet now. And I used to skip class to go to the library to learn.
Well, yeah, you don't learn nothing good in school.
Yeah. So getting back to rock and roll.
I got to tell you this. If I was, let's say I was your leader, I was your omnipotent leader, I would legalize all drugs tomorrow. In fact, I would legalize all drugs today. And I'm not just talking about, you know, people with marijuana. Well, what about crack? I'm talking about marijuana, crack, heroin, mushrooms, plus all those drugs in the pharmacy. I don't need a doctor and a pharmacist and a pharmaceutical company between me and my medicine. When I want to feel better, I ought to be able to walk down to that motherfucking Rite Aid and buy whatever I want to. And guess what? If I accidentally kill myself, I'm an adult. I knew I was taking a chance. I knew I shouldn't have put that blue pill in there with them, but I did, and I'm dead. So what? Everybody going to die. You know, all this shit. Oh, you got to put on a helmet. Guess what? You're going to die anyway. I want to die happy. I want to die happy with the drugs I want, getting my dick sucked by a prostitute. I would like to pay for pussy. That's right. I've been married, and I think I'm paying too much in the marriage. I'd just like to pay for some straight pussy.
Agreed on all of that, except I'm really happily married, and I'm not paying for my pussy, and my wife is...
Oh, yes, you are. Psychically.
No, man.
But
no.
You're not paying now. See, y'all, this is during the happy part. Later.
I don't know, man. It's
I'm older. I've been around.
You're not much older than me. I'm 48, and I've been married for 8 years. And, you know, I banged about 175 women, and I found the right one. So
now, wait. Did you make a list?
Yeah.
175. We're going to have a contest here?
No, I made a list.
Well, many of these motherfuckers.
I made a list up to 150, kept it on a computer. It's the only file I've lost in about 20 years of computing. And I just counted by hand after.
You lost it right before you got married?
No, man. No.
I'm just fucking with you.
No. So
I think, like, you know, legal people, you know, the thing about legalizing drugs, it solves two or three problems at once. First off, you know, I have a drug problem. It's supply and quality. But guess what? I would have plenty of supply, and I'd have much better quality drugs. Second off, well, you could tax it 10% on the.
Why
on
tax
the drug.
It though? Why tax it? That's why, such why a half measure it? To me. I think crack should be freely available and not tax it or marijuana. Why would you want to tax anything, man? Why? That's such a half measure kind of thing. Tax.
Well, no, if you were so inclined to balance the budget, I'll get
can
to
I
that.
Tax,
in a
can
second.
I tax your music?
Okay, can you? My music is taxed. When you buy it, it's taxed.
Hey, how do you feel about copyright? I heard your.
All that stuff doesn't bother me at all.
Can I use two of your songs in this episode later?
You can use all my songs. In fact, you can make parodies of my songs. You can do anything you want.
But you're a BitTorrent guy, huh? You like this is going out on BitTorrent today and not going out on the web for a week. So it's to incentivize BitTorrent.
Yeah. No. Anybody can use my stuff anyway. Now, if somebody's getting rich, I might come find them and go get my money. But you know, if people are just fucking around having fun, use away. I don't have any problem with it at all.
Are you a gun guy?
I'm not a gun guy. You know why I don't have a gun? I grew up in a small town in Virginia. I know how to shoot guns. I've had guns. The reason I don't have a gun is not because I'm a convicted felon, but because my wife, you know, no, I'm not. Oh. My wife would shoot me. And you know what she'd say? She'd say, my wife, you know, I'll be gone. Let's say I'm gone. I'm out with the guys. I'm getting drunk. I'm getting high. I'm flirting with girls. I come home 2 o'clock in the morning. My wife be sleeping. She thinks she hears a prowler. This is what happened to, Ty Cobb's, mother. She came, she snuck in and Ty Cobb's father shot her as she crawled in the window. And that's exactly what would happen to me. I'm not against guns. I'm against having one in my house so my wife won't shoot me.
I like that. I like that. That's what everybody should be, is not against things for other people, but for themselves if they have a personal...
One of the things that I say, you know, in my I have the political talk show on Sirius XM on Raw Dog Comedy, Lion Cocksuckers, and one of the things I say, if you don't like abortion, don't get an abortion. If you don't like gay marriage, don't marry somebody the same sex as you. If you don't like prostitution, don't hire a prostitute. It's real simple. You know, it couldn't be any fucking simpler. You know, we get in trouble when people want to start telling other people what to do. That's where we get in trouble, when you start saying, you know, oh, you can't do that. Why can't they? What does it have to do with you?
Worms. That's how I say word. You should say that. Try it. Worms.
Worms.
Ooh, I like that. That might be
my... No, wait. All right. Back.
I'll make that my ringtone. That'll be my ringtone. Worms.
We empty the prisons. We put the violent drug cartels out of business. And one of the things that really kills me, people say, oh, drugs are, you know, will hurt people. Alcohol and tobacco are killing more people right now
in
the United States of America than all the other drugs combined. Pharmaceutical, illegal drugs, everything. Bath salts, name them all. But fucking alcohol and tobacco is killing 10, 20, 50 times more people.
You're speaking to the choir here, brother. And, yeah, I guess I lived in Virginia. I can have that accent a little bit. Yeah, brother. Okay, so I lived there a while. I live in Wyoming, which is the weirdest state in the world. And, you know, I'll tell you one thing about politics here. When I was involved in politics here, when I would actually write emails to my two senators here, they would actually personally write me back within 24 hours.
There's only 200,000 people in the whole fucking state.
Well, 500,000, but yeah.
We got more people in a suburb of San Diego
I know.
Than y'all got in the whole state.
Yeah, they'd write me back within 24 hours and say, yeah, I respect that you wrote, but here's why you're wrong and I'm smarter than you and bath salts must be outlawed.
Oh, damn. I never had a bath salt. You ever had one?
No, man, I've been sober since 94. I was dying. You know, speaking of rock and roll killing you, we had the same manager, Charlie Brown.
That's right, our man Charlie Brown from Louisville, Kentucky, yeah. Who I met in Denver, Colorado. He's a rock and roll manager. He's the one who got Jane's Addiction going.
Yep.
He managed him, and he worked with me and worked with you. And Charlie, he might have done a little too much drugs at one time.
We'll talk about Charlie. That's on my list. There was the greatest rock and roll advertisement I have ever seen came out of his Triple X management and record label, and it was for Jane's Addiction for their first record. It was a picture of Elvis Presley on the left and Jane's Addiction on the right. And under Elvis Presley, it said, "This rock and roll will never die." And under Jane's Addiction, it said, "This rock and roll will kill you." Best fucking rock ad ever. It burned into my brain. I loved it. And that was Charlie's doing.
That's one of the reasons I stopped touring, you know. I hadn't made an album in a while, and I stopped touring because I'm getting some kind of echo. Did you hear that?
No. You still hearing it?
Yeah, let's see.
Hey, let me stop and save the file.
No, yeah.
You hadn't stopped talking. When you stop talking, you hadn't stopped talking for 20 minutes, but when you stop talking, you get that echo.
I've been sitting around waiting to call you. You want me to call you back or we'll just keep going?
Well, you getting an echo or not?
No, I'm still getting it, but
call me right back. Call me right back. That'll cure it. I've had this problem.
When I look out into your eyes out there, when I look out into your faces, you know what I see? I see a little bit of Elvis in each and every one of you out there. Let me tell you, well, Elvis is everywhere. Elvis is everything. Elvis is everybody. Elvis is still the king. Man, oh man, what I want you to see is that the big ease out of you and me. Elvis is everywhere, man. He's in everything. He's in everybody. Elvis is in your jeans. He's in your cheeseburgers.
Elvis is in Nutty Buddies. Elvis is in your mom. He's in everybody. He's in the young, the old, the fat, the skinny, the white, the black, the brown, and the blue. People got Elvis in them too. Elvis is in everybody out there. Everybody's got Elvis in them. Everybody except one person, that is. Yeah, one person. The evil opposite of Elvis. The anti-Elvis. Anti-Elvis got no Elvis in him. Let me tell you, Michael J. Fox has no Elvis in him. Yeah, and Elvis is in Joan Rivers, but he's trying to get out, man. He's trying to get out. Listen up, Joanie, baby. Elvis is everywhere. Elvis is everything. Elvis is everybody. Elvis is still the king. Man, oh man, what I want you to see is everything is inside of you and me. Ow. Man, there's a lot of unexplained phenomenon out there in the world. A lot of things people say, what the heck's going on? Let me tell ya. Who built the pyramids?
Elvis!
Who built Stonehenge?
Elvis!
Yeah, man, you see guys walking down the street pushing shopping carts, and you think they're talking to Allah, they're talking to themselves, man, no, they're talking to
Elvis! Elvis! Elvis!
You know what's going on down the Bermuda Triangle? Down the Bermuda Triangle!
Elvis needs boats! Elvis needs boats! Elvis, 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 Elvis needs boats!
Ah, the sailing Elvis! Captain Elvis, Commodore Elvis it is. Yeah, man, you know, people from outer space, people from outer space, they come up to me. They don't look like Dr. Spock. They don't look like Klingons, all that Star Trek jive. They look like Elvis.
Elvis!
Everybody in outer space looks like Elvis, because Elvis is a perfect being. We're all moving in perfect peace and harmony towards Elvisness. Soon all will become Elvis. Everything, everywhere will be Elvis. Why do you think they call it evolution anyway? It's really Elvis-lution! Elvis-lution!
Elvis is everywhere! Elvis is everything! Elvis is everybody! Elvis is still the king!
Man, oh man, what I want you to see is that the thing is inside of you and me! That's right, ladies and gentlemen! The time has come. Time has come to talk that little bit of Elvis inside of you. Talk to it. Call it up. Say, Elvis, heal me. Save me, Elvis. Make me be born again in the perfect Elvis light. That's right. You got that Elvis inside of you, and he's talking to you. He says he wants you to sing. Everybody got to sing like the king.
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh. Like the king.
Uh-huh.
Get that leg going now.
Uh-huh.
And get your lip too.
Uh-huh.
Not no fool Billy Idol lip either.
Uh-huh.
Everybody.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, we're rocking now.
Uh-huh.
Elvis is with us. He's uh-huh. with us and he's speaking to us. He says, peoples. Uh-huh. He says, peoples.
Uh-huh.
Everybody. Everybody gotta uh-huh. sing.
Elvis is everywhere. Elvis is everything. Elvis is everybody. Elvis is still the king.
Man, oh man, what I want you to see, that the thing is inside of you and me.
Elvis is everywhere. Elvis is everything. Elvis is everybody. Elvis is still the king.
Man, oh man, what I want you to see, that the thing is inside of you and me. Elvis.
Well, thank you, man.
You're listening to the Anarchy Gumbo Podcast, a tasty stew of freedom and fun. Subscribe at kittyfeet.com. That's KittyFeet.com.
Still getting an echo?
You getting no, I'm not.
I think it was the voices in your head. You've been sitting around waiting to call me.
Yeah, it could be that.
I've been.
You're so fucking far in Wyoming.
I've been sitting around waiting for you to call me. You could have called me 4 hours ago, and we could have done a 20-part interview.
You said you got up late. You said you were a late riser.
No, man. There was something in the air. It was a full moon, and I don't know. It was. It's really windy here. It's like 80-mile-an-hour winds.
I had a friend that lived in Rawlings for a while.
Yeah, that's like. Yeah, there's a lot of suicides there. It's so windy, but it's really windy here. too today. So Charlie,
you're in Casper?
Casper, man, yeah. So Charlie Brown, Triple X Management. Yeah, people warned me when we were going to sign with him, like, oh, you don't want him to manage you. He sued his dad. And I'm like, that's the kind of guy we want to manage us.
Well, that's, I saw this thing about David Geffen the other day, this documentary, and David Crosby was talking about David Geffen. He says, you know, the music business is full of, you know, sharks. He says, we wanted to have our own shark.
Yeah.
And that's what you want as a manager, right? You want somebody that can deal with the other sharks. Right. You don't want to have to be that guy. And what part of what, I was talking about is, I had to stop touring because I would get drunk and high, and I had too many of my friends, too many people I know, too many, people from the same generation, they're dead. They didn't stop touring, and then they kept drinking, and they kept drugging, and they kept fucking, and boom, they're dead. So I might be old and fat, but I am alive.
Me too. I actually started my own diet, and it's really good, and I eat lots of yummy food. If you want, I'll turn it on to you. I lost 23 pounds in about 2.5 months without eating better than I ever have. It's called the Fiend's Diet.
Part of my problem is I like to drink Mountain Dews. Look, if I can't have speed, apparently speed's illegal. Let me tell you something. I was at this big country festival out here in California, Stagecoach. I was all fucked up. Johnny Knoxville gave me some Adderall, and he says, take one, you'll feel better. He gave me 7. So you know what I did.
You want to feel 7 times better, but it don't work that way.
Yes, I took that. Well, this is Sunday. This is Sunday morning, at 10 o'clock or noon. I didn't go to sleep till Wednesday night. And I was like, man, whoa!
It ain't the drugs that kill you. It's the lack of sleep, If you just drink coffee and don't sleep for that long, you're going to feel pretty bad, too, and you'll hallucinate.
Well, yeah, and that's the thing. You start seeing shit out of the corner of your eye, and you start hearing stuff, and you start getting all kind of, crazy paranoid stuff. That's another reason I don't have a gun. I'd be shooting invisible motherfuckers that aren't here.
Squirrels on your roof that you think are
goddamn squirrels.
G-men coming through the roof. So you were in the Jerry Lee Lewis biopic, Great Balls of Fire. I love that movie. You played the drummer in the band.
I was in it with John Doe from X, who played the bass player, and Jimmy Vaughn from the Fabulous Thunderbirds played guitar, and Dennis Quaid played Jerry Lee. And I was in Memphis for like 3 months. I'd already been in Memphis that whole summer working on a record with Jim Dickinson. His sons are in the band North Mississippi All-Stars. And it just so happened that, I got the part. The crazy thing was, as you can see, I like to talk. Well, in the movie, I had like 2 lines over 3 months. I had to shut up for 3 months.
Yeah. If I were doing that, I think I would have taken my checks and gone at night and paid a hooker just to listen to me talk.
Well, here's the thing, too. This is like a big Hollywood movie. I was getting paid a ton of money. I was getting paid $50 a day just in walking around money.
Per diem.
I would get $350 worth of per diem cash every week.
Did you get mailbox money later from that?
I had trouble spending all that on Beale Street.
Because they're feeding
you. The hotel we stayed next to was right next to Beale Street. Well, we got to be friendly with all these guys. They stopped charging us. It was hard work to get rid of my $350 a week.
Did you get mailbox money after that for that movie?
Oh, I still get. Yeah, I get. It's almost down to nothing now.
Check for 16
I got a check
cents
for
or something.
$5,000. 20 years ago. But now I'm getting checks for $47.
Yeah, I call that mailbox money. Yeah, when we got signed to Warner Brothers through Charlie Brown, we got like $65,000 in a lump sum, and then the checks trailed down to like, I think the last one I got was like $1.40 for Japanese YouTube download or iTunes downloads or something. That was for 2 years worth.
Yeah, no, I still get money, all my songs are available at Amazon or iTunes, and I get money. Occasionally somebody will use a song. 2 songs got used in a TV show, My Name is Earl. I got a bunch of money then. One of my songs, She's Vibrator Dependent, was used in a masturbation-a-thon, a female masturbation-a-thon on HBO's Real Sex.
Did you get to judge it?
Luckily, I had a song called She's Vibrator Dependent.
Did you get to judge it? You should have tried to get to judge it.
No. And the song, it's in the background. It's just barely there for, it's only up front for maybe 5 seconds. But they still pay the cent.
That's how it works, man. You can scream your lungs out in bars for 20 years, and everyone loves it, and then you hardly make any money, and then you get one thing that's on in the background, and you can go, oh, yeah, I think that's me, and then they send you checks for it.
Oh, yeah. You know, and I've been trying. A couple years ago, I gave away my entire catalog digitally at Amazon.com. My manager, my current manager, Boardhead, was working there at the time, so he engineered this deal. And part of my thinking was, one, that it was a good idea, and two, that somebody who was a fan of mine would hear Elvis Is Everywhere Again or one of those songs, or Debbie Gibson, and put it in a TV commercial.
Yeah.
You know, use it in, look,
Did they?
No, they didn't. But I'm here to whore. I give it away. I can be bald.
I give it away and sell it all the time, 24/7. You know, part of what I do for a living now is write books, nonfiction, like how to. And I wrote this book that I mentioned you in. It's called $30 Music School, and it's published by the biggest textbook publisher in America. And I was talking about the importance of having your touring vehicle, you know, up to code so you don't get pulled over, no broken taillights, license,
right,
registration.
Right.
And I said, or you could take the tack that Mojo Nixon took, where he drove around for a few years on tour where his license plates were the fake plates you buy at the Graceland
gift store
that say Elvis 1 Tennessee.
I had that Elvis license plate on the back of that van, I don't know, for fucking 5 years or something. We never got pulled over.
That's pre-9/11, brother, pre-9/11.
You know, that's one of the things I want to talk about, and nobody on the right or left talks about this nearly as much. All this Patriot Act, all this warrantless wiretapping, all this, you know, no habeas corpus, this is wrong.
Yeah.
All this data mining, all this holding people incognito, you know. Look, if you put somebody in jail, then you have to charge them, and you have to have a trial to prove, you know, to prove their innocence or guilt. You can't just hold them ad infinitum, and you definitely can't. And I don't care if they're from, you know, a foreigner or an American. Either they did something wrong and you can prove it, or they didn't. You know, and right now we're on a AT&T phone line. They are data mining this fucking phone call as we speak, looking for certain words, looking for certain things. You know, that thing with General Petraeus. First off, how come a general can't get a little on the side? You know, if he's a good general, what's wrong with getting a little new pussy on the side?
It's amazing to me how, like, all these people murder tons of people, like him and Bill Clinton, and the thing that brings them down is getting their weenie wet, you know?
Sure. No, and here's the other, and the thing that brings them down, who authorized that they could go look at his email? There was no crime there. This was a couple of women catfighting amongst each other. There was no national security. There was no, what you need, I think if I've read the Fourth Amendment correctly, probable cause. You have to have a reason. You can't just be pulling. That's why I don't like these DUI checkpoints. You know, I drive to Arizona to go to the NASCAR race out in Phoenix, and every year I get mad because they got a border checkpoint, not on the border, but on Interstate 8, I don't know, 10, 20 miles away from the border. And what it really is a fucking drug checkpoint, and that goddamn dog could smell my drugs one time, scared the shit out of me.
Yeah. So, Jello Biafra, you've worked with him.
Yes, me and Jello made an album.
I thought you were going to say, I thought you said me and Jello made out.
Me and Jello, we might have made out. I tell you, look, I love Jello. He's a great guy. We agree on most things politically. He is the hardest motherfucker to work with. In fact, that guy Al from Ministry, Al, he said, all junkified Al goes, don't do it. He'll drive you crazy.
Yeah.
He was fucking right.
Yeah, Jello Biafra kind of taught me to distrust the government when I was about 18. I discovered Dead Kennedys and loved it. And then I was in this band in Virginia called Baby Opaque. Little band, put out a couple records. No one ever heard of us. Jello Biafra wrote me a postcard and said, I heard about your band. I can't find the vinyl. Can you send me one copy? I'll trade it with you for something. I didn't realize that he was a record collector and he did this to all the bands.
He's a record. And in fact, the most obscure, crazy record that you have, he got five of.
Yeah, and I thought it was so special that he was writing me that I wrote him back and sent him my record, and he sent me a record. And so I moved to San Francisco, basically because he wrote me. So I moved to San Francisco, and I started this band called Bomb that was really popular, and he actually was a fan. He used to be front row every show with a Heineken in his hand, knowing all the words. When he was sued by his band, I went to the to the courtroom and watched it for a couple days.
You went to the trial,
right? Yeah, and I was better buddies with D.H. Pellegrino and East Bay Ray, and he saw me talking to them, and he hasn't talked to me since. I still have his number. I tried calling him last week or a couple weeks ago to get an interview, and he did not return my calls, man.
That whole thing, you know, that kind of tore his soul out. You know, he was beat down by that whole thing. And look, I don't know if he did anything wrong. You know, I don't know the inside. You know, he claims he didn't. I will tell you this: when the person that paid me, the only record company that regularly paid me royalties was Jello's record company. You know,
yeah, he's really good about that.
Right, when that album came out, because he didn't want to be called. He didn't want to be called somebody who was ripping people off. And I don't know the internal dynamics of that whole thing, you know, with the guys in the band, but that did tear him up. But I it was a good idea to make a record with Jello, because every time I play, I'm going to play with Kinky Friedman next week in San Diego.
I love Kinky Friedman.
And me and Kinky are going to, and there'll be one punk rocker there with a fucking week, with a freaking Mohican will be there because he heard the record with Jello.
you endorsed Kinky Friedman, didn't you, for governor?
Yes, originally I hired Kinky Friedman to write my screenplay. I had a movie deal. Man, I was hot. I had a movie. I figured Weird Al could make a movie. Mojo, I had a movie deal, and I had a title, Citizen Mojo. Oh, that sounds good. And I hired Kinky Friedman to write the screenplay, but unfortunately, most of the screenplay went up our nose. Recently somebody found a copy of it. It's most gibberish would be a kind phrase.
So I interviewed Dick Dale recently. You kind of remind me of him in some way. You ever talk to him?
We played with him a couple times, but I've never actually sat down and talked to him. I just shook his hand, said hi.
I did an interview with him. It was three parts, and the first one was amazing, kind of like this interview you're doing now. And then by the third one, he was talking about how the spirits of his dead family design his merchandise, and I was kind of like, oh, okay, yep.
Hey, man. Well, you know, just because somebody's good at one thing, they start thinking they're good at everything. Yeah, I think that's part of the human condition, right?
Yeah, that's why there's so many like smart people that are really stupid and become politicians and really do it all wrong. Just because you're smart doesn't mean you're wise, I guess is what that comes down to. So Charlie Brown, man, Charlie Brown. Tell me a Charlie Brown story. I like that guy. Didn't like him as a manager, but I liked him as a guy. Tell me a Tom Howard story if you don't have a Charlie Brown story.
Tom Howard, I would have to get that part of my brain working again. That part of my brain's been shut down. Yeah, part of the thing, you know, I grew up in Danville and I left in 1975. Well, so, like Tom Howard, I might have saw him in 78. Maybe that was the last time I saw him. So it hadn't been a lot of thinking. His brother ran some bar down at the beach in North Carolina. He kept wanting me to come play down there. But I haven't, you know, Tom Howard and me, and did Tom Howard go to my church?
Probably. I think he did sound at a church. I think he told me that.
I think he lived near the church, and he maybe was supposed to. There was two other weirdos.
He was a really normal weirdo, though. Like, you know, for everyone who doesn't know him, he was like, he kind of reminded me of like someone that would have been like the computer programmer for Devo or something.
Right. No, so, something like that. And, you know, and you got to imagine, you know, you've been up in Charlottesville. Hell, you can see Yankee Jews from Charlottesville. You know, Danville is like being in Alabama. it's a small town. You know, it's Peyton Place. It's Southern. It's redneck. It's hillbilly, and it's all that times 10. You know, so you just imagine how we stuck out in Danville.
Yeah. Yeah, I had a friend who used to go to Virginia Tech in Blacksburg, and then he went to George Mason in D.C., and then he went to UVA, and he was my roommate in Charlottesville. And he and I were tripping one night in the Safeway, and this redneck was staring at us really hard, and he had a really good comment. He said, you can go to George Mason, but you won't find any rednecks, or you can go to Blacksburg and you won't find any LSD, but you can go to UVA and have the best of both worlds.
Woo!
So Jello Biafra, man, it's weird to me that he taught me to hate the government, but he's so pro-government, man. Everything I hear him say is like, the government needs to do this and do that, and we need more laws. And wow, that's so square, man. How'd that happen?
Well, you know, I think, you know, and I had him on Lying Cocksuckers, and he was saying, you know, you got to vote. You got to vote in local elections and all this stuff. And, you know, I don't know. I think, you know, as people get older, people change. And, you know, he's talking about doing, you know, incremental small things. I tell you what my dream is. My dream is the current system collapses. I lead a group of desperate rebels in the hills against an oppressive government. And I'm not a military, strategist or anything. I'm not Robert E. Lee Part II. But I could rouse the truth. I could be the spiritual leader. I could lead them in song to go fight the man. That would be my deal. That would be my dream. You know, incrementally changing things over 10 years is fucking boring.
Tell me about your song, Root Hog or Die.
There ain't no song called, there's an album called Root Hog or Die.
Oh, yeah, sorry. I mean, isn't that a Dixie battle cry?
Yeah, that's an old phrase, you know, you got to root hog or die, meaning you got to get to work or you're going to fucking perish. You know, you got to root like a hog to get, you know, you got to work hard to get what you want or you're going to perish. I had a bunch of crazy phrases, you know, I had that Whiskey Rebellion, that was an album, that was the, I guess they weren't B-sides, those were C-sides. And, you know, I had an album, Whiskey Rebellion, and you know, Bodacious, and, you know, Sacre Bleu, and, you know, I had a lot of kind of hillbilly phrases. I had, you know, album titles.
Yeah. Are you really a hillbilly? I mean, you strike me as authentic as a hillbilly. When Jello, and I don't want to be bashing Jello, I just have observations, because I used to love the guy, and I don't really, you know, I mean, he sounds pretty, like, it's almost like he's doing white face when he sings country to me, man. You're authentic.
Yeah, you know, Jello's not a singer, he's an artist, you know.
Yeah.
And when we were making the record, I'm much more of a hick than I think I am. When I hear myself being recorded, when I hear myself talking, just normal, you know, talking, I'm, oh, man, what the, right. I could be more of a hick. We could have lived on a farm, and I could have, you know, fucked chickens. But that's it. You know, I grew up in a small town, Danville, Virginia. My father ran the black radio station, and I was obsessed with music and politics, you know, in this small town. And when I was 12, I knew, you know, my goal was to get out. That, you know, I knew. So I remember reading, you know, Abby Hoffman Steal This Book. I remember hearing,
me too,
you know, Arlo Guthrie's Alice's Restaurant. You know, I remember going over to a guy's house and hearing the Dead Boys and the Sex Pistols. I knew something was going on. I just needed to go find it.
Yeah. So tell me about Pat Robinson. You were on TV with him. That was pretty amazing.
It was Pat Buchanan. Was I on TV with Pat Robinson? I don't think so.
Yeah, Pat Buchanan.
I was on Crossfire. In fact, you know, Jello was supposed to do that. Because that was back when, in the mid-80s, when they wanted to put the ratings on the records.
Yeah, my band Bomb, when we were on Warner Brothers, we were literally one of the first bands that was forced to put that label on. And Ice-T was on Warner Brothers at the time, and he had that Cop Killer song. And somebody phoned in a bomb threat to Warner Brothers the day my band Bomb's record was supposed to come out. It did not help us.
If you said fuck or shit, they wanted to put a sticker on there. You could maybe say hell or damn or something. And so I was on Crossfire, and you know, I remember I flew up there on Crossfire on CNN, and it was Michael Kinsley and Pat Buchanan were the hosts. And I was on there, and I drove up to L.A. to the CNN studio, so I wasn't in the room with them, which makes it a little more difficult. And on the way up there, I was sitting next to this guy on the plane. He goes, you should, you know, he said, you're too fired up. You need to be nice. You know, be nice. Be intelligent. So I was trying to take this older guy's advice. And they fucking tore into me like I was a child rapist in the first 5 seconds.
Yeah.
I quickly got rid of being nice and just started attacking them motherfuckers.
Yeah, I liked what he said. Mojo Nixon, I'm assuming that's not your baptismal name.
You know, and look, those kind of shows are entertainment anyway. That's why Kiki's good on those shows. You know, he's smart, he's funny, and he takes the piss out of them.
Yep.
But all this... it is odd. In 1985, you couldn't really get a record out if it said fuck. Now I have a satellite radio show called Lying Cocksuckers where I say motherfucker every third word.
I don't think you can get a record out without saying fuck now. At least no one will buy it. You know, the kids won't buy the record unless it has the warning label. That's how they know it's a good record.
It's just the whole thing, you know. And I had a song, Bring Me to Head of David Geffen. They wouldn't put it on the record.
Oh, my.
I had another song, You Can't Kill Me. And in the song, I say that McDonald's is putting something in their food to make us weak, sterile, and subservient. And they're in cahoots with the Mormons and the alien puppet master overlords. They wouldn't let me put that in there either. Another time I made fun of Mike Curb, because that's the label the Beat Farmers were on, Curb Records out of Nashville. And they made me change that to Mike Perv. You know, people are pussies.
Yeah.
You know, people are always going to, you know, how many records am I going to sell? You know, if I was lucky, I'd sell 50,000, you know.
You're listening to the Anarchy Gumbo Podcast. That proves you're smarter than most people.
Roland, let you back out of your cage, man. You sound wound up. So you were like, what time did you get up today, ready to do this interview?
Later. Well, I usually get up about 7 o'clock because I have to do my show on Outlaw Country. I have to record that show in the morning, and it's got to go to – I got to FTP it to New York. I record it into the computer, and it plays the same day. So I have to get it done by 10 o'clock my time.
Is that what you use the ISD line for?
I use the ISDN line for the live shows. I have a NASCAR talk show, Manifold Destiny, and I also have a political comedy talk show, Lying Cocksuckers. And now, so I use the ISDN line for that, and at those shows I have guests and I have callers.
I always ask a little bit about technical stuff because our audience is generally interested in it. I know that they used to do live shows with an ISDN line, but isn't an ISDN line slower than a DSL line at this point?
I don't know.
It's two phone lines, right? They use two phone lines to do it?
Yes, it's a dedicated phone thing. The one I have is the kind of half a one, and it only uses one line. But it sounds real good. And they have things now where you can use the computer, and it sounds almost as good.
So do you have, like, your producer in New York squeaking in your ear while you do that?
Yeah, you know, what we have is it's called Telos, and I can see the call screen that he has in front of me. I see a mirror of that. He'll type something at the bottom. He'll type, you know, hey, let's go to break, or, you know, take Billy. He's, you know, he's really, you know, he's jacked up, ready to go. So I'm in San Diego. The producer's in New York. The truck drivers, that's who listens a lot. That's half your listeners on satellite radio. The truck drivers are, you know, rolling across Nebraska. And I go, you know, hey, let's go to Bob on line 3 to talk about this fucking bullshit. And the guy in New York pushes the button and it all somehow works.
Yeah, this show is syndicated, not live, but later on Liberty Radio Network, and that's run by Ian Freeman from Free Talk Live. You ever heard Free Talk Live?
No, I haven't heard that.
It's they're on Sirius Satellite also, and they weren't before. They were internet only and on a few radio stations around the country, and it used to be when I'd listen to that show, all the callers were like somewhat libertarian, kind of pretty much agreed with what the hosts were saying. As soon as they got on Sirius, there were all these like, well, we got to get Obama out of there and we got to get Romney in. And they're all truck drivers, you know, driving through my neighborhood. It's pretty funny. Yeah, because truck drivers love satellite radio because it's consistent across the country.
Right, and they were the early adopters, and there's a whole truck driving channel, and there's weather channels, and no, and in fact, it's not just truck drivers. Anybody spends a lot of time in a vehicle.
Yeah,
you know, and also I got a lot of listeners, and they don't call so much, but I get emails. People who like working a shop, you know, working a shop, fixing something, building something that has a radio. If you worked in a motorcycle shop, fixing motorcycles all day, you could have a radio on in the background, and people, I'm gonna get satellite radio because there's a certain kind of music I like. Now, part of the problem is I say motherfucker all the time.
Can you cuss on there? Do they censor it?
No, they don't. And because, you know, it's outlaw country. If you want to listen to Barbara Mandrell Pussy Country, they got a channel for that, you know. But if you want to listen to Johnny Cash all pilled up and fucking somebody in the ass country, that's our show. And, so anyway, but yeah, I get people all the time, you know, going, you were, because I've been ranting about this, how the Chargers suck. I live here in San Diego. I've been ranting, fuck the Chargers, for about a year now. And they said they can feel it. They can feel a fuck the Charger coming. They got to mute the radio when their boss walks by.
That's awesome. What kind of microphone do you use for your live show? You're using a phone right now, right?
I'm using the phone right now. When I do the talk, when I do the talk shows, I got one of them Sennheiser, you know, like sportscaster headsets.
Ah.
But when I do Outlaw Country, I got the big mic. It's the AKG version of the Electro Voice, you know,
nice.
The radio standard.
The RE20, is the Electro Voice.
It's the AKG version. For some reason, they wanted me to get that one instead of the Electro Voice. And then you have to run the mic. It's got to go through
some
cheaper.
They're $300 instead of $500, but they sound almost as good, so that's why they use them.
Right. And it goes through some kind of doohickey that turns it from digital. I mean, from analog to digital.
Do you use?
And then I have like a DBX thing that they had at the radio station I worked at, and it's got a little EQ, and it's got a little pre-gain, and it's also got a little compression. But the main thing it has is a gate. So if I just cut the gate up just a little bit, it loses all the background noise. I don't have to worry about all that.
Yeah, do you have pets?
But I can literally be outside mowing the grass. Doesn't matter.
You do have pets?
Say what?
Do you have cats and dogs?
I got cats and dogs, and I used to do it here in the. I got a small house. I got the shack by the sea here in Coronado, 700 square foot shack, you know, down by the ocean in San Diego, and then I got a separate little mother-in-law apartment in the back. And I used to do it in the main house, and the cats would always be, you know, yelling and jumping on the thing and fucking with me.
What's better, cats or dogs?
Well, you know, I like them both. I like them both. But I got to tell you, I got a cat, Mr. Fuzzums. He's 17 years old. He's
wow.
And he's always cold. So we got him a sweater. He don't like the sweater.
Get him a hot pad, man. Hot pads are good for that.
Well, yeah, no, we had that. My wife's got one of those. She calls it heat feet. She puts it down at the bottom of the bed. But the cat wants the whole fucking thing. I told him to buy him his own.
Yeah, what is it? Dogs have owners, cats have staff. That's what I've heard.
But well, the good thing about cats is you can go somewhere for 3 days, ain't no problem.
Yeah, I know.
Dogs is too much like having kids. Hey, might as well just have a kid.
Oh, the guy I do my other podcast with, the Freedom Fiends, Nima, his dog, if he goes out of town for a couple days, will literally like ruin the house, like trying to dig through the wall next to the door because he thinks that's the way out. Like dig down to the lath under the plaster.
Damn.
Yep. So what else do you want to talk about? I've gone through my list of questions, but I'll talk as long as you want.
I got a list here. Where's my list?
I thought you could say, nah, I got to go, but I'm happier that you said, nah, I got a list.
I got a list. I think I hit most of these things. You know what? I got two final points. One, I believe in the equality of men and women. And if men can walk around topless, women ought to be able to walk around topless, too.
Well, San Francisco.
Look, don't women get hot in the summertime? Don't those bad boys need some hair?
San Francisco legalized nudity a while back, a couple years ago, and then they illegalized it recently. And now the only time you can be naked is basically if you pay, if you buy a parade ticket to be naked for a parade. So they want to, you know, it's government. They want money. If you're going to do something, you should be able to do.
Yeah, and you're out there in Wyoming. I don't know how fast y'all drive, but there should be no speed limit.
Yeah, Wyoming's a weird mix of freedom and not freedom. I mean, literally, you can drive with a loaded AK-47 with a 30-round mag on the passenger seat in your car, and when the cop pulls you over, he doesn't care. If you smoke a joint, they'll throw you in jail. If you walked around naked, they'd probably send a SWAT team here.
Well, but yeah, how fast, right? But, you know, look, I've been up there on Interstate 80 and, you know, in bumfuck nowhere. And what's the difference between going 70 or 80 or 80 or 90? If you have the vehicle, right, it's like the Autobahn over in Germany. You know, that deal. We can learn something from our Nazi overlords. You know, look, first off, if you have a good vehicle that goes 100 miles an hour, go 100 miles an hour. Second off, if you're not passing somebody, get the fuck out of the fast lane. Don't be going slow in the fast lane. That's what the fast lane's for.
Yeah. Montana had no speed limit for a while, and then the Fed said, we're not going to give you any money that we're taking from you, so they rescinded that. Wyoming, you know, we're the next state down, which is, you know, it's pretty much the same kind of population-wise and spread out and mountain. But you can pretty much drive as fast as you want here if you have a radar detector, and they are illegal here, you know, outside of town.
I say NASCAR, not VASCAR. Wasn't there what they had in Virginia? They had some kind of VASCAR radar system. This is, you know, back in the 70s and 80s.
Sounds like an impotence drug to me, VASCAR. And, you know, Telos, the name of the system that you use to teleport into your studios with, Telos is actually the brand name of some drug. What is it? It's something. Some drug for something. Oh, for... Lexoricam. It's an anti-inflammatory non-steroidal drug. Whatever
I want some inflammatory. I want everything to be motherfucking inflammatory. Well, Michael Dean, it's been my pleasure to be here on the Anarchy Gumbo podcast. And make sure everybody checks out Mojo Nixon on Sirius XM satellite radio, and you can buy all my records and stuff at iTunes or Amazon.com, and you can go to MojoNixon.com and find out more useless fucking information.
Appreciate it, man. It's been an honor to have you on. Thank you.
All right, man. Thanks a lot, dude.
Oh, say worms one more time. Oh, he's gone.
Say what?
Say worms one more time.
Worms.
Cool.
Thank you for listening to the Anarchy Gumbo Podcast. Subscribe at kittyfeet.com. That's KittyFeet.com.
Anarchy Gumbo is proudly syndicated by Alterati.com, the Liberty Radio Network, and No Agenda Global Radio.
All with a rotating guest on a spit. Barbecued for your pleasure.
Outtakes, yay.
Are you one of the 12% of Americans who still approves of our government? Then we need your help to force the other 88% into compliance. When you're not busy spying on your neighbors or squinting at everyone, tell anyone who will listen why more government is a good thing. You'll get a warm and fuzzy feeling demanding more taxes and arguing in favor of gun control while militarizing our police, because folks just aren't smart enough to handle real freedom.
That is so square. Check out the additional Freedom Fiend show, Freedom Fiends Live, every Sunday on the LRN.FM streaming feed or satellite radio.
Broadcasting live and worldwide from a windowless bunker inside a mountain near an undisclosed location in the rural Wild West of the occupied states of America.
Freedom Fiends Live expands on the Fiends' weekly Wednesday podcasts, but now we're kicking the hornet's nest live. Talk back to the back talkers every Sunday from 5 to 7 p.m. East Coast time. From the makers of Guns and Weed, The Road to Freedom. Freedom Fiends Live. Call in soon before we get droned.